Again from our reading, when they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So far our text. And grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so it's 2024, which means it is election season. So, oh no, he's getting political at a sermon, you might be thinking, but just bear with me for a moment, because it is relevant. Because every time the season rolls around, we start looking for a number of qualities or qualifications in a candidate. And just like any other job, we might be drawn to their track record, their history, how they present themselves, their values. That is, are they pushing an agenda that is in line with our own sense of morality of what is right and wrong and what is best for the community? And in our reading, Israel is in a similar boat. Of course, they're a theocracy, not a democracy, which means they don't get to pick their kings by voting, or even by strange women lying in ponds distributing swords. They didn't get that one last night. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a series of ideas about what they might want in a leader. And so Israel is looking for this king, someone to take charge, someone to make them into a great and prosperous nation like all of their neighbors. And after following the prophet Moses through the wilderness for 40 years, and then maybe a series of judges that were honestly hit or miss, who's to blame them for wanting a little bit of stability? So Israel wants this king, someone to defend them, somebody to supply for them, do all of these great things that they want in a leader. And so initially they look to Saul. And Saul is this great and strong warrior. He presents himself, simply put, he looks and talks like a king should. But we're in chapter 16, not chapter 15, because back in chapter 15, God rejects Saul for his rebellion against him. But then God says to the prophet Samuel, do not grieve Saul, for I have somebody better in mind. And God then tells Samuel to fetch the sons of Jesse. And among these men are warriors, men who had fought alongside Saul in combat, proven leaders under stress. And these are desirable qualities that you might want in a king. And God says to Samuel, I will pick my king from among them. And so these sons of Jesse, these strong, handsome warriors come marching in. And immediately, Samuel finds himself drawn to the eldest. He's this tall, handsome warrior named Eliab. And he says, surely God's chosen is standing before me. And that's when God says, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So what do we see when we look at each other? Just like Samuel sized up Eliab, we size each other up based off of these outward appearances, not just physically. We look at the degrees somebody might have, all of the letters they have after their name, or the number of children, the year of their car, the size of their house. And then we start sizing each other up in other ways too, like the color of their skin, or their home of origin, or the amount of money in their bank account. And then we start saying things like, whoa, I know the real you. Everybody else thinks that you're Superman, but I know how bad you really are. I remember what you said. I remember what you did. Now, these are outward appearances. Whether or not they're these status symbols or they're secret sins or public sins on our heart, if it's what we see when we look at someone and we start drawing any kind of conclusion about them, then we are looking at the outward appearances and we are not looking at the heart. We are not seeing as God sees. And so back to our story then. Picture Jesse's sons as this line of soldiers standing before Samuel. And Samuel believes that God is going to pick his king from among these ostensibly supremely qualified candidates. And so who does God pick? Well, it's David, who is the youngest, smallest, feeblest of the bunch. He didn't even make the initial lineup when the sons of Jesse were told to present themselves before Samuel. They had to go fetch him out from the field where he was working. And then the reading describes him as being ruddy and having beautiful eyes. Yeah, he is a small, young shepherd boy. He's certainly not a warrior. He's certainly not a king. And remember, the David and Goliath story is not until the next chapter, so we don't know that about him yet. But God looks at this David and says to Samuel, "That's my guy." And that is where the ruler of the kingdom of heaven is found, among the least, among the meek. We call David a type of Christ, that is, this Old Testament figure who embodies and foreshadows the future person and work of Jesus Christ. We call David a type of Christ because he's this chosen king of Israel. And when Christ was crucified, the sign over his cross read, "The King of the Jews." And we also call him a type of Christ because he is a shepherd. And we know that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. But I propose that he is a type of Christ for another reason, and that is because it is in him that God sees what he's looking for, when all that we see is, as the reading says, the outward appearances, the weaknesses. Because God doesn't care about outward appearances, accomplishments, or lack thereof, or any of these things the way we do. He cares about what is on the inside, the reading says. So what is on the inside? What matters in the eyes of God when he looks at us? Well, if it is truly what is on the inside that counts, then it's hopeless. Because when I look inside myself, I see sins that I'm ashamed of. I see bitterness and jealousy and wrath. And so that can't be what the reading is speaking of when it says that the Lord looks upon the inside and not the outward appearances that man sees. Because what God sees as worthy when he looks at you is deeper. It's more fundamental than these outward appearances that we identify with as who we truly are. Because what God sees when he looks at you is not your job. He doesn't identify you by your sins. He doesn't decide who we are based off the life that we've lived. In fact, the more that we identify with those things, the more we are obscuring the truth of who we are in God. Because what God sees when he looks at you is his own life. When God looks at you, he doesn't see what you see. He doesn't judge as what is worthy or unworthy in the way we do. Instead, when God sees you, he sees his own son and judges you based off of the perfect life of Christ that he's given to you. And that is exactly how we inherit the kingdom of heaven. The true king of the universe, the author and ruler of all reality, imparts to you his own life. And our sinful, mortal lives, this temporary construction of outward appearances, well, that doesn't live into eternity. Because what lives into eternity is this redeemed life that God has given to you in Christ. I'm not a fan of proof texting. That's that habit of saying something and then listing umpteen seemingly random verses that's supposed to prove a point. But I want to take a bit of an exception here, because this theme is found all over the New Testament. And as Christians, it is truly worthy of our meditation. And so hear how God does not identify you based off of the ways you may, but instead with his own son. So Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, he says, "I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me." And then in his second letter to the Corinthians, he says, "Examine yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you?" And then to the Romans, he continues this thought, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness." And that's God's righteousness. And because that is Christ's righteousness, that is your righteousness. And then to the Colossians, he says, "There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and is in all." Paul is saying that all of those things, those outward appearances, the barbarian, Jew, slave, free, those are the things that we claim as our own. But what is truly eternal is that life of Christ that God has given to us, that gives life to the whole world. That's the good news. That is the gospel, is that it is Christ's life gifted to us freely through his incarnation, his humiliation, and his self-sacrifice, the self-sacrificing life of God that is illustrated so painfully clear on the cross, which is worthy of eternal life. And that is the life that God sees when he looks at you, not this outward appearance that Paul says is wasting away. And that's why we call him the good shepherd when he lays his life down for the sheep. That is him saying he is giving you his own eternal life in exchange for our temporary, sinful, impermanent life. So bring the whole thing back to the story that we are reading. Why does God look at David and see the future king of Israel if we know that the true king is Christ? Well, because it is in David. It is David who is gentle and lowly. David is humble, meek, one whose outward appearance is so easily overlooked by passers-by. And that is exactly where Christ is found. It is Christ. There is none more meek, none more humble and disregarded, none more lacking in outward appearances than the good shepherd who is hung on the cross, convicted as a criminal, left to die naked. And when we look at the cross and we see Jesus humiliated and emptied of all of the things that we would treasure and desire in an earthly king, then we are seeing what God sees when he sees us, which is his own life stripped bare of the outward appearances that we treasure in ourselves. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that heart that God sees is Christ. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the true faith in this Christ. Amen. Please rise.